Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, and I'm delighted to have with me today an old friend, Dermot Hamlin. Hello to you, sir.
Hi, good morning, Rob. How are you?
We're fantastic. Lovely to have you on the show. Dermot, you've had a long history in the accounting profession. Just paint for us a little picture of your heritage in this wonderful game.
Yes, well, 20 plus years have certainly flown by. I started off working for what was a little company at the time called Iris Software. I was number 44 on the payroll. I did 10 fantastic years at Iris. I then did 3 years with Thomson Reuters Digita. Since 2011, I've been working for myself, helping out software vendors launch in the UK, a couple of coaching platforms, and working with a few accounting firms themselves directly.
But generally, what kind of shape do you feel the accounting profession is in right now?
Yeah, good question. I think overall it's in a pretty solid state, but obviously when you refer to the accounting profession, that covers a variety of firms of all shapes and sizes. For the Global Four, they continue on their own path, and kind of going from the Big Four down to the top 250. There's great opportunity, great growth for many of the firms. Certainly for some of the older and experienced sole practitioners, they are actually finding it pretty tough as their clients retire. They really are the stereotype that fit the description accountants. They're really struggling to either offer additional services or new services to their existing client base and struggling to win brand new clients. So I think overall it's in pretty good shape, but you know, there are one or two little segments within that that are struggling.
Now, you definitely got your foot in the software, the technology, the digital side of accounting that serves these accounting firms. What kind of shape is that?
It's really interesting. It's really exciting. When I joined Iris, we didn't call it at those days, but we were certainly very much a disruptor. You know, we came with a brand new way to deliver compliance services, not just brand new, but very efficient and very different to the rest of the market, all around central database. You know, great times, great change there. In terms of cloud, then the profession has been quite slow to adopt the potential. We do see some of the pay setter firms are really racing ahead, very quick to make decisions, decide where the new products or services are for them. But once they've made that decision, then to really get in and execute on that strategic choice, there's still too many that unfortunately have kind of signed up for a general ledger provider, but then very slow to actually implement and drive adoption or even get their own team members trained up so that they can make best use of the technology. And once you've got your team members trained up, then they're going to have the knowledge and the confidence to inspire your clients to go and make use of all of the great technology which is out there. I think what we do see is lots of firms have signed up, some way ahead, some are getting to grips with it, mainly as a result of MTD, but we're still waiting to see those final efficiencies feed through.
Do you get any sense that the rate of change in technology is not trickling through to accounting firms and it's actually happening a lot slower than it could be?
Well, that's a good question. I think undoubtedly it's a lot slower than many of the software companies would have expected it to. I still think that within certain firms, they kind of sign up for one of the GL providers and they then give it to somebody who has expressed an interest in IT, or because they're young, older partners assume they know everything about IT, and there's no plan, there's no thought around it, there's no backing from above, and these projects fail. I mean, I know that software companies seem to be an easy kicking target for certain people on platforms like LinkedIn, but the amount of support that certainly the larger software houses provide now is quite staggering. You know, there's no shortage of online courses, face-to-face courses, additional skill sessions that partners can sign up for. So yeah, undoubtedly in the UK, we have been slower to adopt than our cousins down in, you know, Australia, New Zealand.
I want to ask you about that. How does the UK compare with, say, what's happening in other parts of the world?
Certainly we are behind Australia and New Zealand, but I also think it comes down to personality. The cultural differences between the two jurisdictions are very, very different, and Australians by nature are very happy to dive in and try things, whereas, you know, the average Briton, I'm not talking about accountants here, like to think things through a bit more. So in some ways that's good, some ways bad. It certainly held us back in terms of cloud adoption, but you know, having said that, we've had a big push with MTD, so I think we're probably a lot closer to our Australian cousins than people think. If you look at certain other firms such as Carl Reed or Will Farnell or Paul Bullpit at the WOW, then you know, they've got nothing to fear at all from any of the firms down south. Compared to Europe, certainly compared to places like Sweden, we're, you know, way ahead in the Nordics. Similarly with Ireland, we're ahead of them. And America, we are ahead of.
But no reason to be complacent. There's still lots to do.
Oh, loads to do, and loads of additional products coming to market all the time, and still a lot more that we can do for clients. And that's the thing about tech. You've got to think about why you're doing it. It's not just to put a badge on your website. It's actually, what difference does it make to your clients? You know, the first decision that you should make when you're talking about tech is, should you actually use tech, or is there a manual way that you can do things quicker?
Yeah. So when you look at the accountant now compared to the accountant a few years ago, have you seen some changes in the skills that they need, the knowledge that they should possess?
Yeah, that's another great question. There is a big change. Some of the younger accountants, and although this is not actually driven by age, then they do tend to be of a younger nature where, well, they really got excited by the cloud. So they've then gone off and either asked or been given the project to drive that forward within their business. And it's great to see there are some really, really successful accountants who've been able to spend a lot of time beginning to understand the nature of the cloud, investigate the apps, and then go out to their clients and really deliver some great change.
So we're seeing this new breed of accountants. It's not just about purchase ledger and sales ledger and everything else, double entry bookkeeping now, is it? It's a different world.
One of the first projects I did when I went out on my own was, I actually was working with a firm I know, and I went on some sales calls with them. And although they were quite a small firm, we were up against two of the biggest firms in the town that we were pitching in. We were the third firm in, and I think we'd been discounted. They were just seeing us as a polite request. And we actually won the business because we didn't mention tax or accounts at all. We spoke about them, their business, what they wanted to do with the business, and therefore what they wanted to do with themselves in their personal life. It was a solicitor's firm, and the two partners at the end of the meeting said, thank God you didn't talk about tax. We've been bored senseless for 2 hours by the other firms pitching for this business because all they talked about was tax. He said, we know you know about tax. We wouldn't let you in the room if we didn't think you knew about tax, and we don't know anything about tax, and we wanted to remain that way. So actually behaving like salespeople, understanding what the number of the problem is rather than just talking technical issues is certainly coming through.
Can accountants sell, Dermot?
I would still argue that most of them cannot. Thankfully, we see a bigger proportion that can. A lot of them get het up with the fact that selling is bad. Whereas, of course, unless you can sell, you're not going to have any success as a business person.
Why do they think selling is bad? Where's that coming from?
Well, it's this image. People say, you know, describe a salesperson to me in 3 words or give me an image, and they have that horrible second-hand car salesman in a cheap suit and a horrible tie, slick back hair. Whereas you and I both know that sales really is a conversation going through a process of uncovering the needs and then working out whether that client is actually right for you. And then if they are right for you, demonstrating how you can solve their problems. Because sales is actually quite logical, accountants should be great salespeople. But unfortunately, a lot of them aren't. Having said that, you know, there are some great accountants who are great salespeople. But I think a lot of them, unfortunately, haven't had some training. And I was selling for 7 years before I had any training. So we see a lot of courses. We've got good people like yourself who are offering help to accountants. So I think it's improving, but there's still too many that are boring people to death with technical issues where it's completely different.
Yeah. When you coach, you evangelize, how coachable do you feel accountants are as a race?
I don't think they're too different to any other sector. The vast majority of them are very conscious that they need to learn, that they need to improve their skills. The soft skills, as they're described, are the area where they are weakest. And I think a lot of them appreciate that.
Yeah.
I don't think the percentages are any different to, you know, other areas such as sales or marketing, where every sector has its people who are arrogant and you don't really want to spend any more time in their company than you have to as a minimum.
Mm. So what's really working for a successful accounting firm? So what's the easiest way for firms to grow these days? And where are the opportunities?
For existing firms, one of the areas which I'm seeing take off is where firms are actually reducing the number of clients that they work with. The message about grading clients and getting rid of D clients has been around for many, many years, but they're actually seeing people do it. So where they are thinking about what they want to do as a firm, thinking about the kind of clients that they need to work with to deliver the returns that they want, and the clients where they actually have the services to drive them forward, is being really, really successful. So by selling off blocks of clients, reducing the number of clients that you have to focus on. Also, one of the areas where I think accountants are weak and could improve is making sure that you, as a senior member of the team, spend your time on areas which, you know, bring revenue into the firm, delivering high quality work or out there promoting and selling and marketing yourself.
So it seems that in terms of opportunities, the tech side of things, advisory side of things, can you just outline outline some of the opportunities in the tech and the advisory space, Dermot?
Sure. So in terms of advisory, then the opportunities start with making sure that you position yourself correctly as an accountant. Everybody assumes that you know how to produce a set of accounts and tax returns. Where accountants do need to improve is actually doing some strategic planning with their clients. Accountants are coming under attack from business coaches, and the sales pitch from a business coach is don't work with accountants because all they can do is produce sets of accounts and tax returns for you. They've got, you know, zero commercial experience. So it is a competitive space, but the one thing accountants do have, they do have relationships with their existing client base. So they should be chatting to them frequently, making sure that they then really are the trusted advisor that everybody refers to. But you're only really a trusted advisor when your clients are ringing you up and asking advice about every area of their business. And so this all comes back to strategic planning. And out of the strategic plan will then follow additional ways to make sure that your clients adhere to the plan. And always, always, when you speak to your clients, you're always going to get additional opportunities, additional work. Either that's something you or your firm can deliver, or you can pass it on to one of your network.
Would many accountants be scared by the idea of strategic planning, or should that be exciting them?
Well, for me, I find it really exciting. I like change. I like challenging myself. I like trying different things. So if somebody says, would you like to have a go at this, run this project, then, you know, I'll stuck my hand up in corporate life. So for me, it's exciting.
But you're not most accountants, are you? I'm thinking when you say do a strategic plan, how many of them would know how to do that?
Well, that's a very good point. So the obvious thing there is calling somebody like John Thompson, who's going to help you actually train you, coach that, or even do it for you. Even areas like R&D, accountants were very slow to pick up on R&D, thinking that they had to do everything for themselves or that their clients would look down on them because they didn't know everything about tax. Whereas, of course, nobody expects an accountant to know everything about tax. Everybody knows it's really difficult, and people would be quite happy with you to say, look, I'm the general practitioner. If you go and see your doctor, your local GP, you don't expect him to do the actual heart surgery. So, you know, with R&D, I'll call in an R&D expert.
Mm. What about the tech opportunities, Dermot?
There's always tech opportunities, and always have been tech opportunities. Tech has been around for a lot longer than the last 10 years. There's a heavy push on app advisory at the moment, or producing a pretty set of reports for your clients, which again, when I was Exchequer in 2006, we were producing those for clients, admittedly at a much higher price point than cloud accounting enables you to do. What accountants need to do is think through whether they are suitable to deliver app advisory. I would say they're much better placed to deliver strategic planning than they are placed to do app advisory. If you, as a firm, have never sold any IT services before, what makes you think just because you've got somebody who understands Xero and Receipt Bank and potentially a couple of other apps, that's a world of difference between being able to offer proper IT advice and structure it properly than strategic planning, which falls into your understanding of the numbers. So there are opportunities with app advisory. I know a firm in Newcastle have just recently been able to deliver a complete transformation of a medium-sized business finance function, but that comes after 3 or 4 years of hard work, some pretty skilled IT people in there, and that's then delivered the trust for an existing client to spend 15 grand with them to deliver that transformation.
The tech is throwing up a lot of data for accountants, though, and that's quality data, isn't it? How can they use that to drive growth?
Well, data is the new oil, to coin a cliche. So whereas one of the basis of delivering growth is making sure that you have a CRM in place to help you with that growth, the more important thing is to actually have data that is usable to deliver the opportunities which give you growth. So every firm, whatever size, that puts a CRM totally underestimates the basically poor state that its data in, based around the basic standing data, because various teams, departments that would use the data differently, collating all of that into one data set, partners being very cautious and concerned that if they share their big earning audit fee with another part of the firm, that's going to ruin their relationship, potentially cost them a client, to then moving on to adding additional bits of data about the client so you can run some intelligent queries, which will then identify opportunities for you.
Now, you're working with the excellent Des O'Neill over at ProfitPro at the moment. What kind of things are you doing for them?
So actually, we're just about to launch in the UK. So as you say, Des is excellent, qualified accountant, been running OmniPro for circa 15 years in Ireland. So somebody who really understands the problems, pains of accountants. And for me, there are really two things about why I signed up with Des. So that's one, the individual himself, myself and brother Mikael and his wife Caroline. So three really nice people. But secondly, it's the results that they've delivered. So I've worked in previous life with Ireland, and you know, they're a tough bunch. Great fun in the meeting room, but trying to get them to sign a cheque is probably the hardest I've ever had in my life. So anyone who can build a business in Ireland, I take my hat off to. So we've got a range of data and content which are really going to help UK firms to drive forward and accept the challenges that they face in the next couple of years. So really excited to be working with Des.
And what exactly does Profit Pro do?
So there are two sides to the business. Profit Pro is actually a coaching program covering all areas of practice management to get your practice in shape to drive you forward and accept the challenges that we face in the next few years. And then there's also a technical side, OmniPro, which will launch in the UK in January 2020, which is more focused around technical coaching and keeping you up to speed with changes in legislation.
And what would signing up with Profit Pro help an accounting firm to do?
Yeah, good question. So in terms of Profit Pro, we run a series of coaching programs and also a mastermind group. So in terms of the signing up for the program, we have a range, we have a process which enables us to improve your firm. And if you sign up with us, then there is engagement which will enable you to make the changes that you need to make for your firm, but do it with somebody who's been there before and is able to hold your hand and talk you through the problems and the challenges which will undoubtedly come along.
Yeah, well, we touched on a few subjects today, Dermot. One thing you're very good at is seeing what's coming up. So can I ask you what an accounting firm of the next 5 years might look like?
Yeah, sure. So I certainly think they'll be far more business-like than we have today. So I think the partnership model will decrease in popularity. There's very little attraction for a mid-30s aspiring partner to sign up for today's partnership model. Why would they do that when they can very easily go off and set their own firm up? So I think we'll have far more CEOs with board directors and acting in a corporate type structure. I think advisory, I know it's a very conflicting area of discussion, and it's really two choices. You're an adult, you can run your firm in the way that you want to. So if you are very happy and making money as a compliance house, and I know that many are, then there's no reason to change. But that doesn't mean that there are significant opportunities for others to go forward with advisory. So I think having a business which is structured to properly deliver advisory, making accountants accountable to deliver the results, is going to be much better. There are opportunities actually in data. A lot of firms actually in Australia are recruiting very hard for data scientists. Lots of talk about AI and machine learning and what are the changes that it's going to bring. Well, certainly the ability to understand data and use data in different ways than we are today to deliver informed decisions for your client base is going to be key. So I certainly think for the mid-sized firms upwards, there's very, very few doing that today, only a couple that I'm aware of. So that will become more prevalent. Your average accountant, we take the technical skills as a given, but this new breed will multiply quite rapidly, and that your accountant will become far better at understanding marketing, selling themselves and the business. I think accountancy firms will be much, much better at training their people, and that's giving them the skills and therefore the confidence to be able to go out and really help their clients and compete with those other people that are out there fighting for that business.
Yeah. Now, if people like what you're saying, want to get in touch with you, have a conversation, what's a good way for them to reach you?
Yeah, probably the best way is on LinkedIn, and that's probably the easiest way to do that.
Super. And finally, Dermot, what's the best piece of advice you've been given in dealing with today's fast-moving world that you could perhaps pass on to the accountants and tech people listening?
It's be fearless, be confident about yourself and your team's abilities. If you knew that success was going to be guaranteed, what would you do?
Well, Dermot Hamblin, that's been terrific. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Rob. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.